Hello, we've been expecting you. It's true because I'm Mother Goose, and I heard you walk up. Anyway, welcome to the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Whether you're a charmer, a deary, an evil regal, a kick-ax team 7, or whatever you are all welcome here. Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California are the hosts. They are just the best. Oh, but come in, dears. Now, you can listen with the rest of us, but don't be shy. Here, this magical voice will tell you how to be part of the podcast.
Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626.
Okay, are you comfortable? Got your cocoa with whipped cream and cinnamon? Okay, here comes Jeff and Colleen.
Welcome again to another Once Upon a Time fan podcast. It's just us. Mm-hmm. Jeff Roney and
Colleen Roney.
And I just wanted to say we made it.
We did.
This.
Sorry, Wookiee snuck in.
This is an achievement. This podcast has been a lot of work amongst real life and everything else. And I did wane very tiredly from time to time.
Yeah, me too.
So
we even podcasted through illnesses.
Yeah. But we did it. And I just want to thank the listeners to that who, you know, have been there through the whole way and Twitter and Facebook and emails and voicemails and all that. So I think it's just I wanted to kind of take a second and just kind of exhale. A little bit and say we did it. So
yes, we did.
All right. We've watched A Land Without Magic again.
Yes, that is
true. And I think it's probably the best finale there is. So I was really impressed again.
Yeah, especially for season finale. Yeah, it was really, really good. It is really good.
So I have some notes and so we'll kind of go old school like we used to do and do some discussions about things.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of Return of the Jedi. I kept mentioning it. I was waiting for it. And the huntsman with the faceless, you know, masquerading. And I just wonder if the faceless thing is really going to come into play with the Queen of Hearts.
Oh.
Because once you use something like that.
Right, and it becomes a theme.
It was kind of, they were setting you up for that. Because there were faceless guards before we've seen with the queen, and then also the Queen of Hearts. Right. And some of her guards had a cover over their face, too. So, I just noticed, too, that Prince Charming pulled the Princess Leia and killed the captor with the chains. So.
Yeah, with his with his shackles,
And I have not verified this, but the huntsman handcuff keys look very much like Mr. Gold and the key that opened up that little Fabergé egg or whatever it was.
Yeah, interesting. Here's another little Star Wars tidbit for you. Henry's room, where he was kept, had the number R242 on the door. The significance of that is actually R2-D2 because D is the fourth letter of the alphabet. I'm pretty confident in saying that that's what they did.
Yeah.
So they didn't actually use it because it's probably a trademarked name.
Right.
But I'm willing to bet that's where they went as an homage.
I think old Lucas had let him slide.
Probably.
Excellent. I didn't even catch that. You're much more of a geek than I am.
A little bit sometimes,
My job is complete. All right. So the huntsman had a choice to make. He could have left with Prince Charming.
Yeah, he could have.
But he stayed and did the noble thing. and basically paid for his crime of letting him escape. And he also was noble because he gave up his heart to save Snow. So he fulfilled kind of the noble part of his bargain. So he could have escaped and kind of maybe led a happy but hidden life. But he stayed. And I noticed this time that Dr. Whale kind of nudged Emma to the point where she would believe.
I don't think he did on purpose, but what he said, because his lack of anything is what...
He said, is there anything you can remember?
Anything you can think of? Oh, well, but I don't know if he did it purposely. You know what I mean? I don't think he consciously. I think it was just him, you know, because he didn't know the answer. So he thought maybe if she said something, you know, well, yeah, he ate rat poison. You know what I'm saying?
But I just kind of noticed that actually for the first time, Dr. Whale, maybe unbeknownst to him,
actually
fell into progression of situations that actually pushed her to
believe.
So
yeah,
the Rumpelstiltskin and Prince Charming fight was, you know, there have been a lot of really cool sword fights and fights in this show. But that one, to me, I was watching and I was thinking it was Anakin and Count Dooku in Attack of the Clones. Because we have Prince Charming fighting with two swords, Anakin fighting with two sabers, and Rumpel also using force push or this magical shoving, which Maleficent does. Korra did. And Regina does in Fairy Tale Land. So they all have this kind of dark magic. Pushing thing.
Well, and speaking of that force, I don't know if you noticed it this time. I kind of noticed it, but it didn't register very much with me. But there was like a very distinct pattern to that forest. That's how we kind of knew it was the same place, the Infinity Forest. Because the way the trees were kind of laid out, it was very measured and very specific. You know, trees just, they didn't just fall over. I mean, they were placed in those positions for some reason, it looked like. That's just what I saw.
So Prince Charming says, I keep making these wrong decisions and I don't understand why they keep happening. And I was thinking, then Storybrooke is like the Infinite Forest. Because you, and because Rumpel said the only way out is
my
magic.
Well, and he said my way first, which is magic.
So, in effect, the same was true of Storybrooke. You basically stayed there, and in Prince Charming's situation, kept making these wrong decisions to never quite... And he was with the person whom he was going to end up with, but because of these bad decisions, it was like he couldn't escape and get that happy ending. So I was kind of making the match between
the
two.
Great observation.
And so true love is the most powerful magic of all. So powerful it can transcend realms and break any curse. And it more powerful than true love's kiss, as long as true love is the impetus, that action will work. Now. So it could be a kiss. It could be a sheriff badge. It could be a, you know, and the thing is, I look at these little, I call them mini breakings of the curse. And the more they happen, the weaker the curse got. So Emma staying in town, Emma becoming sheriff, Graham and Emma kissing, Emma grabbing the book. But then we're also talking about Archie standing up for himself, brought the crickets back. And where's something else? Graham
touching the wolf. It just, so, I mean, it just added to his memories. It was Emma that started kissing Emma that started it, but beyond that, touching the wolf also woke him up a little further.
All right. We will move forward. Now, there were some more Star Wars Joseph Campbell-y mm-hmm. items, too. Mm-hmm. So we saw Emma, the savior, and the hero. Mm-hmm. And the more I watched it, I really started to kind of see the similarities. And the big thing about a hero is you say you're not going to do it, whatever the task is, and then you say you're going to do it. But then the teachers that have been helping you either die or they're not there or they can't help you. So I started looking and I was thinking Henry is a lot like Obi-Wan mm-hmm. in that he was asleep or incapacitated, could not validate help, whatever.
Right.
And so then she went to August. And August is dying like Yoda did mm-hmm. in Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. And so Luke knew that he needed to learn more, but Yoda said he knew all he needed to know. And Emma kind of did the same thing with August. She said she can't do it, nor no more normal person can. And right. then August reminded her, and he said that was a good thing you're not normal. So he validated the hero part of her
right.
as he died.
Well, and he also said something very interesting that I picked up on is he said, you can save. He didn't get to say the word us all. So he just said, you can save. That'll be interesting to see how that plays out. If it does, if they just dropped it there for a reason, I don't know.
Yeah. Side note, I wonder if her duties as a savior are over.
I don't think so.
Or maybe there's a new savior.
A new savior from what, though?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what's... We know that magic is coming back. So, and I do agree...
Yeah, Rumpel said that very distinctly.
I do agree with one of the folks that emailed. I think it was Pat, I think, that said it's going to be a hybrid.
Yeah,
fairy tale and storybook.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, that's what I was thinking. Well, because it's not necessarily a curse. But
no, not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, Henry said something bad. Well, and he may have a point because if Rumpel's getting his magic back, which he, of course, said is power. Magic is power.
Right.
Regina's getting hers back, too.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the stronger magic?
True.
And who? What's that going to do for all the other characters who mm-hmm. have magic as well?
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
The nuns, fairies. Yep.
Exactly.
So it was really interesting to see Emma finally take her place as the savior slash hero.
Yes.
Very forceful, very in command, very in control. Most of the time, she always kind of played second to Regina. But it was interesting to have her kind of command the room and say, you've got 10 minutes, you know, and then Regina said, you know where to meet. She said, yeah, don't be late. Mm-hmm. Just taking charge. Mm-hmm. So
she made up her mind at that point in time. The decision was made. She was going to be the hero.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Regina's apology to Henry was for everything, or was she sorry about him eating the turnover? I wonder.
Yeah, it honestly looked very sincere. And I think it very much appeared to me that she was very, very much apologizing for everything.
Now, I'm going to say this. I'm walking on a thin ice, but I'm going to say this anyway. I think sometimes when we watch these shows, we watch it a bit like a melodrama, like a play at Knott's Berry Farm, for example. When the hero comes out, we cheer. When the villain comes out, we boo.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of fall into this type of, well, that's the villain.
Stereotype.
And the villain is bad.
Mm-hmm. Stereotype.
Or the hero, right. The hero is always good, and he's always good. But with a show like this, the hero has down moments, down times, make mistakes. One of the tweets I got this week is, he called, I think it was he, but the person called Emma Barney Fife and said that Barney Fife's superpower blew it again. She should have realized that Mr. Gold was duping them into getting the true love serum. And so I said, well, great point.
But here's the thing. I've said this from the beginning. Does she really have a superpower? Mm-hmm. There's supposed to be no magic in this place. So how does she have a superpower and no one else does? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know that I buy that. I think that was just her way of talking to a child saying, you know, I can tell when people are lying. Because how many times have I done that to a kid that I'm babysitting?
Yeah.
You watch it. I've got eyes in the back of my head. I can see everything you're doing. I know exactly what you're doing. And these kids believe me. Well, they think it's a superpower.
You do. You do have eyes in the back of your head. Anyway, so, but
that's
but,
a secret we didn't need to reveal.
All right.
Anyway.
So the thing, too, is that Regina is a character. And sometimes people look at her, the evil queen, and say, they're all bad. There's no redeeming qualities. And so what I enjoy about Ima and the other evil Regals is they bring the other side of it, because if you do hang around with folks and listen to folks that are looking on the other side, the charmers, they will kind of point out the difficulties that the evil queen is kind of putting in the path. But in this episode particularly, I really saw Regina facing what she had done and the ramifications of her decisions. And I really felt like it started to kind of hit her in a way that it never had.
Most especially when she was sitting in Henry's room, hugging his pillow and crying.
Right.
I think that's where she felt the most remorse and the most sadness and sorrow over what she'd done.
Right.
Because she lost him anyway. He clearly didn't want to have anything to do with her. She knew that she had to run or she'd be killed right there because they would have mobbed her. And I think she was panicked a little bit going, what am I going to do? And then when she got up and saw the purple smoke come in and she knew what that was, that's when she smiled and realized, okay, I'm not completely out of the game here.
Right. So I just, in conclusion, I just want to say that not all antagonists are bad. There are some redeeming qualities. They can learn. They can make good steps.
I think if you peel any person's onion layers back, you're going to find the opposite of whatever you know them as. Mm-hmm. So somebody you think is really sweet and wonderful, if you peel back the layers enough, you're going to find some pretty dark stuff underneath.
Right.
For people that you think are just horrible, awful people, you peel back the layers, you're going to find some very sweet, tender pieces under there as well. I think we all have both in us, and we pretty much wear the one that we're most comfortable with and the one that's probably the most dominant in us. But I firmly believe we all have the opposite in us as well, and in varying degrees.
So I'm a very balanced guy. I'm a kumbaya kind of a guy. I'm a let's all get along guy, and that's me.
That's you.
But I saw the other side of Regina in this episode, and it wasn't the strong in control, two steps ahead. It was a, oh my gosh, what have I done?
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to kind of talk about that. Now, Obi's girl sent some really cool Star Wars connections. We're not going to go into those right now.
Okay.
But the one thing she didn't mention, and that's cool because, you know, I see things that other people don't.
Right.
Is that when Obi-Wan gave Luke his father's lightsaber, he said that it's an elegant weapon, the lightsaber, not as clumsy or random as a blaster, meaning that the lightsaber actually was the weapon of a graceful, elegant time, and a blaster, anybody could use that. And it was interesting that when Emma got her father's sword, that she used it at first and then threw it down and said, no, I'm going to use what I'm comfortable with,
right,
what I know will work. And as she used the gun, she realized it wouldn't work.
Right. It actually became a hindrance and didn't help her in any way, shape, or form. In fact, ran out of bullets, and she was forced to use her father's sword, which ended up being the ultimate weapon.
Right. And so that's what I want to point out. So,
sorry, didn't mean to steal your thunder.
No. Totally cool. So when Henry was on the table, I have not been in a room where a child has died in the hospital. That must be horrifically awful.
I can't even begin to imagine what that would be like.
But when I saw that, it reminded me of E.T. when Henry was in the tent and E.T. was there. And I started to think about Henry died.
Yeah, he did clinically.
And was that Regina's? Because remember, Regina got magic in Storybrooke. And Mr. Gold said, that means that you're going to have to pay something.
Well, and was Regina that... actually said to Emma, when Emma asked her, don't you have any magic? She goes, that was the last of it.
Right.
What's it going to do to him? I don't know. Magic is unpredictable here. So you're saying he could? Yes. So that was very real. Regina had no idea what was going to happen because, again, this is a land without magic. And having magic in it, where it's not inherent, where it's not natural, it's going to get unpredictable and messy. And it sure did.
So I know why Henry died, as far as the story goes. But I wondered if it was payment for what Regina had done. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of...
Payment for what she had done.
Well, yeah, because she conjured magic.
She did.
And magic always comes with a price.
Right.
So what was that price for her?
Losing Henry at this point in time. Okay. She did, because she has. Right. She's lost him at this point.
So another situation that I saw was that Emma was doing something for Regina and Mr. Gold at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she was. But for her, she wasn't doing it for either of them. She was doing it for Henry.
True.
But they benefited, but she ultimately was doing it for Henry. That's the only reason why she did it, was for Henry.
So it was kind of interesting. It was always that, well, why don't you do it? No, I had to stay here and work the elevator. It's like, so anyway, okay. but actually it yeah. Okay. So I'll leave it where it stands. Is Emma's favor still in play with Mr. Gold?
Oh, I'm sure it is. Cause she hasn't satisfied it yet.
I mean, the only one I would say is I got that true love portion back for you.
Oh, maybe, it wasn't an official favor. Mm-hmm. He didn't call it in as a favor. Okay. He basically was giving her that information to help her, but it was ultimately helping him, and he knew that. Mm-hmm. That was the whole point. It would help her and him. And actually, if you think about it, it really didn't help Henry, because Henry died while she was going and getting the stuff for her gold. Technically, she could actually turn around and say, you know that favor I owe you? We're paid up. Because Henry died while I was retrieving that for you. Right. That thing didn't help Henry in any way, shape, or form. So I think that that may come into play next season. Maybe. We'll see.
And Emma defeated the dragon next to Snow White's casket.
Yes, she did.
Where her father gave the true love's kiss to break their curse.
Right. The sleeping curse that Snow was under.
So when she threw my voice sounds weird tonight. When she threw the egg up to Mr. Gold, it was like in Raiders of the Lost Ark when Indiana Jones threw the idol to Sepito. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was, actually.
But Mr. Gold didn't throw anything down. Whip or nothing. So
no.
And Doc and Mother Superior both said you were too late.
Yes, they did indeed.
And the true love's kiss of a mother to her son broke the curse.
Yes.
But I think there were all the steps that had to happen.
Yeah.
I think she had to touch the book. She had to get the flashes. She had to go defeat the dragon. These are all paths to, and I know Manny's listening to him go, yes, yes. But these are steps toward the ultimate breaking of the curse.
Right.
All those things had to happen to build that hero in her. Mm-hmm. Then she was ready. So,
yeah.
Yep. All right. So we have some voicemails. And we will start to play them before my voice gets really funny. All right, we're going to play some voicemails now.
Okay.
And here is the first.
Great.
And let me hit play.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. Wayne Henderson here from MediaVoiceOvers.com. Calling in with kind of a review of the brand new CD of the Once Upon a Time television soundtrack. This thing is awesome. Of course, we already know that Mark Isham has some fantastic music on Once Upon a Time. And this new CD is excellent. 25 tracks of Once Upon a Time goodness. Four of the tracks are pretty much the same as on that Valentine's release in iTunes of the mini EP of the orchestral suite. And except for one thing, the actual title track, Once Upon a Time Orchestral Suite, the last 30 or 40 seconds on this new CD is different, but is also familiar music. And that awesome last 30 seconds or so from the original EP version now has its own track at the very end of the CD called The Clock Moves. There is some powerful orchestral songs on here. To paraphrase the show, it magically brought back some awesome memories of favorite scenes on season one of Once Upon a Time. It's just so good. I highly recommend everyone who really loves the Once Upon a Time television show to buy this CD. Of course, it's available at Amazon.com. And Jeff and Colleen, I know you've got the Amazon affiliate store. That would be my recommendation of where you purchase this CD. As far as you go onto the website, it says that there's a shipping delay of 1 to 2 months. Disregard that. I don't know why that's there. Of course, you can't guarantee anything these days. But even when I first ordered it, which was like the day before it was supposed to be released, it said that it would take 1 to 2 months to be shipped. However, it then got delayed. I ordered it anyway. I knew that eventually it would come, and I didn't think it would be that long. And it turned out not to be. Even though it said 1 or 2 months, within about a week and a half, I got a confirmation email that it had been shipped, and I received it yesterday on May 15th. So it's out there, and even though still on the Amazon site it says 1 to 2 months, I don't think that's accurate. I don't know why they haven't updated that. The CD is out. It exists. Now, it doesn't get shipped directly from Amazon, and, you know, the record labels that put out orchestral soundtracks of movies and TV shows, they're different than the record labels that put out rock, pop, and country and rap music. So they have their own way of doing things. And I wonder if that's the reason why this is not available in iTunes, at least not yet. I of course, prefer the instant download and all of that. I don't know why it's not in iTunes as of the time of this voicemail recording for you. Hopefully it'll be there soon, but the CD came rather quickly for me, and it's got some cool pictures, liner notes, and it's just really cool. So, Wayne Henderson here from MediaVoiceOvers.com, highly recommending, the Once Upon a Time television soundtrack CD. I'm going to go back and crank it up just a little bit more. I'm going to start off again with the Once Upon a Time orchestral suite title track. See you later.
Thanks, bro.
Thanks, Wayne.
Excellent. And yeah, I'll put the link in there. Sometimes I'm a little slow on the uptake with my links of things. But anyway, we will get that. But that's exciting news.
Yeah, it is.
It has been a long time since I've purchased a CD.
An actual physical CD? Yeah. Oh, yeah, me
yes.
too. iTunes, I usually buy stuff off of iTunes. Mm-hmm, yeah.
iTunes has just taken over. But it's really neat to even listening to the music in the finale. I noticed when Rumpelstiltskin and Belle had their moment, I started hearing Belle's theme
right
from the EP that I bought. So so yeah, it's a lot of good memories, a lot of really great music. So
definitely.
Mark Isham or Isham, Isham.
I've heard it both ways, but all right. Anyway.
Whatever you are, sir, you are a great great composer, and thank you so much for all the great work. So
yes.
And thanks, Wayne, so much for that audio memo recorded on your iPhone. And here is something from Obie's Girl.
Sweet.
Hello, Jeff and Lean. This is Obie's Girl. I just want to thank the both of you for making an awesome podcast, the OUAT Fan Podcast. I get your humor, and you guys make the show fun to watch. So thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, take care.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think the greatest thing is you get our humor.
That's tough, but also she sent us some pretty awesome theories and emails and clips and stuff, so we appreciate that a lot.
And most of them didn't scare me, but the ones from Pan's Labyrinth did.
Oh.
That was scary.
Referring to Pan's Labyrinth.
Scary,
yeah.
Scary. Anyway, thank you, Obie's Girl.
Yes,
You've been there almost from the beginning, probably from the beginning.
Pretty close, if not there.
She designed the podcast art for our podcast. So thank you so much for all that you do. And it's really, really cool to have another Star Wars person. It's awesome. So thank you for that. And now I'm going to find this here. And where did it go? Ah, there it is. Cool. I think this is our first voicemail. Here we go.
Cool.
Hey, it's Tyler. So I just have to say that without having watched most of the promos for this week, because I really didn't want to have the finale spoiled. One, this episode was just absolutely amazing and has me still going, what the heck did I just see? Did Emma really destroy the mistress of all evil? I mean, what the heck? Yeah, so I'm kind of freaking out here, and I think all of us are. But I just wanted to say that as soon as Rumpel looked at Regina and was like, is she still in the basement? My gut instinct was that it was going to be Maleficent, and then bam, it's Maleficent. So I just felt happy with that. But how could Emma kill the mistress of all evil? She's, what the heck? That's not cool. But yeah, okay. Just thought I'd say that. And now I feel like I have to watch Fantasmic to watch Maleficent be eviler than Evil Queen again. Oh, man, I think Disney needs a Rumpelstiltskin movie, too, because, tonight was just way too epic. I don't even have a theory for season two yet, because, holy crap, I'm still taking in the finale. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler.
And yeah, I do forget that Maleficent actually was very, very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. She had a very different kind of magic, apparently.
Yep.
Than Regina.
And we will continue on. Here we go.
Hi, guys. It's Janelle from Ohio. I'm twin mom times two and then four. I haven't called in a while. Last night's episode was epic, phenomenal, and all everything rolled up into one. I was very, very, very happy to see my evil fairy Maleficent show back up, but I was very sad when Emma had to kill her. But hopefully she can still show up in past scenes for Fairy Tale Land, just as Graham did, and oh my God, he looked hotter than ever. My main thing with the characters over next season, I am hoping that they managed to do something with Pinocchio, a.k.a. August, and he manages to turn himself back because he did try to help and help MSE and became the good boy again. So maybe the Blue Fairy might be able to do a little something with that, as she may possibly have her powers back. Speculation on other characters, if they're pulling in, you know, like Midas was a Greek mythology character, Mad Hatter was an Alice in Wonderland, speculation's going that Oz is going to come, maybe coming into play soon. We already have Pongo, who was from another children's book. I mean, who's to say that the kid from Treasure Island doesn't show up, or another type of those type of stories show up. I would eventually like to see maybe the Dancing Princesses. There's so many ways that they can go, and with trying to storm the castle and take it back, I'm wondering what are they going to do with Prince Charming's father. I mean, how on earth are they going to do that? I'm hoping Belle comes back, and I really hope things go well with Belle and Rumpelstiltskin. I think that, you know, they're perfect. And maybe we'll actually get to see Cinderella, well, now that they're still married, as they all have their memory back, I was kind of hoping to see Cinderella's wedding. But you never know. Maybe Rapunzel will come into play, and somewhere along the line, we'll get some type of big royal wedding. But yes, Colleen, I was in tears also, and I was jumping up and down when the Huntsman showed up. I jumped up and down when Maleficent was there. When Jefferson went and saved Belle.
Cut her off.
Oh, no.
It cut her off. But anyway, thank you, Janelle.
Yes, thank you, Janelle. In. There's a whole lot of stuff in that voicemail. It's good to talk about. Let's see. First thing being August, with him being a wooden puppet now. Now that magic has come back, the Blue Fairy, I would be willing to bet cold hard cash she's going to have her powers back. Because it's not just Rumpel that's going to get him. It's going to be Regina, the fairies, everybody. That being the case, I will bet money that she will actually give him back life.
Yeah.
Because he was selfless at the end. He did do the right thing at the end. So I think she will actually return him back to his human form. then as far as season two, Oz, I do think Oz is very plausible. And the interview I saw with Eddie and Adam that was on Facebook, I watched it after the fact, but what I saw, they very much hinted around that Oz was a very real possibility, because they said, you know, if you want to, you should probably watch that episode again and pause your DVR inside the hat to look at all the doors, because they will come into play.
Mm-hmm.
They go, you just never know what's behind the curtain. Because the guy even said Oz, you know, it looked like green curtain with Oz. And they go, look behind the curtain. So I think we will see Oz. I think we will see, you know, other characters. And you're right. We do have some characters from Greek mythology. We also have some from other places. And Pongo is from 101 Dalmatians. So does that mean we're going to get a Cruella de Vil? I'd be interested to see that.
Some people have said that that the type of car that Regina is driving is actually a Cruella de Vil car. And it's probably from the movie.
Actually, Cruella de Vil's car was not a Mercedes. It was a more roadster. Mm-hmm. And Regina's not driving a roadster. But
yeah.
Anyway, okay. I'm pretty sure we saw a Coupe de Vil somewhere in there. Yeah. Regina's got a Mercedes, so that's not the same type of car. But I'm pretty confident we're going to see... I wouldn't be surprised if we see Cruella de Vil at some point. So I think you know, there's plenty of characters we have not even encountered yet.
So Oz is on the table.
Yep.
Mulan is probably on the table.
Yes.
Little Mermaid is on the table. You know, we definitely need to see more about Cinderella.
Well, and here's the thing. So, we did see her wedding, but we didn't see the actual ceremony piece. What we saw was the reception afterwards. So we kind of sort of saw, I think it'd be fun to see an actual full wedding. Who knows?
And I remember Eddie and Adam saying Rapunzel would be fun, I think.
Yeah.
So I think when they say more than nothing, it's something's
brewing.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So they have ideas of where they want to go with it, and I'm pretty sure we're going to see a lot of these characters. So that's just my thinking.
So I hope, Janelle, I hope you found some peeps, some peeps in your area.
Yeah.
Some OUAT peeps. Maybe that you can rewatch and kind of talk about certain things or whatever, but we're all about bringing people together.
Yes, we are.
So anyhow.
Sweet.
Here is our next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Mason from Oregon, of course. I saw the finale, and like you guys, I was amazed by it. I was really surprised by the sheriff returning in the fairy tale world. I really like the fact that that when Emma was fighting Maleficent, instead of going with the sword to dragon combat real quick, they mix it up a bit by having her shoot at the dragon. So I thought that was pretty good. what I like to think is that there might be a second half to the curse that Rumpel made. I don't know what it could be, but maybe the second curse could allow that if the curse should be broken, then the curse is they may all have to return to the Enchanted Forest. So that's my guess. Or they can move freely back and forth now between Storybrooke and the fairy tale world. So that'd be an interesting thing to see in season two. the writers mentioned that we won't see Peter Pan. We won't see the Peter Pan characters due to a copyright issue. The story behind that is very complicated. So, but we're definitely going to see Little Mermaid at the Pally Fest. They said that Ariel will show up in season two. So hopefully that will be the first episode of season two. I noticed, and I'm not sure if you guys noticed, but I noticed that we actually gained sympathy for Regina because throughout this whole series, she's been on the mother threatening mode because it seems like she did love Henry. So I'm probably going to call back and add more. So have a good day. Bye.
Thanks, Mason.
So
did he?
Yeah, but yeah, he was talking about shooting the dragon.
Right. Which we just talked about a little bit ago. But yeah, I thought that was really good that they, you know, mixed it up because, like you said, it was very familiar for her. So,
but then it was the other. He was thinking maybe there's another half of the curse, and that maybe they had to return to the fairy tale land to actually completely break it, which is very much like Lost.
Very much like Lost.
You have to go somewhere all together.
Right.
And all that,
they have to be. Yep. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to go that it's going to be that they're going to go back, but I have a feeling that when the magic comes through, we're going to see, like somebody said, I don't remember who it was, if it was you or somebody else, but a hybrid of the two worlds where it will be, you know, part storybooks, Storybrooke and part fairy tale world. That's what I kind of think. And or maybe not. I mean, it may be, like you said, they have the ability to go back and forth between the two.
I think Jefferson's going to be a busy guy.
I think so too.
I think he's going to be spinning that hat so much. Oh man.
Yeah.
So all you Manhattresses or whatever you're called.
Hot Hatters.
Yeah, something like that.
I think is what they're calling themselves.
I think you're going to get a lot of your wishes.
They might.
So here's another call.
And Colleen, this is Mason again. As I was saying, we mostly felt a mixed sympathy. We had mixed emotions towards Regina because in the first half, she was motherly protective of Henry until Mr. Gold said said that he was the one who was responsible for bringing Henry to her. And when she put two and two together, that's when she went into evil villain mode. But other than that, though, I thought her character was very well done. I would love to see how she managed to trap Maleficent in her dragon form for 28 years. That'd be something I would love to see. Maybe we'll see it on the bonus features or whatnot. So, anyways, go ahead and discuss. It was a great run. Let's hope that we can get another season out of this after season two. So, by the way, my on the weekend, actually last night, my godniece was born. So that was a good treat. So Once Upon a Time means a lot. My sister was one of my sistery friends. She was watching the show, the finale, and she was feeling the contractions. And then all of a sudden, right as Rumpel battles Prince Charming, she goes into labor. So I'm like, yeah, villains tend to do that. I'm thankful that Once Upon a Time now has a special place in my heart. So have a good day. Bye.
Wow. That warmed my heart.
That's very sweet.
That was, wow.
So congratulations to your friend.
Yeah.
Who had the baby. That's awesome.
That's really neat.
And, yeah.
Wow.
That's a really cool, cool thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I do think that any good show, dramatic show, does show both sides, and we talked about it before, of a character.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that for the first time, maybe a lot of people saw Regina kind of stripped away of the bravado and the power and the this and the that. And they saw her that she is really realizing all these different things. And then Henry's gone. So she's alone.
Yeah. You know,
and
we saw the soft side of Regina.
Right.
Sounds like a Sears commercial. We saw the softer side of Regina
right.
in Stable Boy, because mm-hmm. that gave us the backstory of why she is the way she is. And that's where I think it softened up the character of Regina for a lot of us on the one hand. But on the other, because I think her drive for revenge was so strong, it clouded any good parts of her that we might have seen. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think this pulled the clouds away. And you could see she's really hurting. She's really hurting. And this is not about revenge anymore. This is about a brokenhearted mother who wants her son back. Even though he's not biologically her son, she wants him back.
But now the game has changed. And now Gold mm-hmm. is the bad guy.
Yeah,
possibly. So it's
going
to be very interesting to see Emma and Regina team up to go take him out. Or at least have him.
Maybe.
That's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. Remember, the curse being broken is only part of the thing.
Yeah.
The other part's the epic battle.
Right. Yeah.
The battle for good and evil.
All right. Here is the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Morgan again from Minnesota. Just calling with a couple of my thoughts and reactions to our wonderful season finale. First of all, oh my gosh, what a great show. I know that everybody's thinking that, oh, I just can't get over what a fantastic ending that was to the season, and I really can't wait for next season. So I just jotted down a couple things that I was thinking as I was watching, things that came to my mind as I was listening to your first reaction. So here it goes. The first thing that really, 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 really bugged me. Why didn't Rumpel kiss Belle? I mean, it's completely ridiculous because obviously at this point he doesn't have any magic, so he doesn't have to worry about losing anything yet. So right before he goes to the well and drops in the magic, when she remembers, why didn't he kiss her? Ugh.
That's a good point.
I agree with her, and I totally, I was really upset by that too. And at first it didn't dawn on me, and then when I saw it again, I was like, oh man, I can't believe that. Because, yeah, Charming and Snow White, they definitely had a nice little passionate kiss with the, you know, the
with the Vertigo camera around.
Yes.
By the way,
I
missed that the first time. So
yeah. Yep. So that was a good point. And yes, he should have kissed her. He hugged her and he said, "There's plenty of time for that later," but there may not be. I know he thinks there is, but you know, yeah, he should have totally kissed her.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of not happy with him for that, but anyway.
Yep. So he's probably a little leery about kissing.
Well, even he may
from
be
way
yeah,
back,
right? He may be
because he knows what that means. So anyway.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, that just really kind of made me mad. But I'm sure all the dearies will agree with me. But that's okay. Yeah. And then also. Rumple, Mr. Gold, I absolutely love you, but you just got your true love back, and then you want more power. I mean, the way that Belle looked at Rumple at the very end when he said magic is coming or whatever he said, she's obviously thinking that was the whole problem with our relationship in the first place. So, I don't know. I was wondering, do you think that maybe she'll leave Rumple again? I truthfully don't think so, but maybe.
Well.
You're going to let me tell it. So what I said. Okay. So here's the thing. I think that it wasn't that he was hungry for more power. I think he knew he had to have the magic in order to find Balefire. That's the whole reason why he even allowed the curse to be enacted in the first place. He had to enact the curse, had to have it broken, and he needs magic back so he can now find Balefire in the real world. And that may be exactly why they're not going back to fairy tale world right now, because that would defeat the whole purpose of the curse. If he put in a safeguard for the, you know, savior to be the one to break the curse, Emma specifically, I'm guessing he might have put something else in there in the curse to make it so they don't go back until he finds Balefire. Just a guess.
What time do you have to go?
Half an hour.
Okay. So the one thing I was going to say is that what's cool about it, even though, yes, he did choose power again after
right.
he got his love.
Right.
But with the introduction of Belle, that's going to be that balancer.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing a woman brings to a relationship, apart from all the jokes that stand-up comedians, is a balance to a guy. Now, they bring up things that guys would never think about, like this power.
Mm-hmm.
Is not going to get you what you think it's going to get you.
Right.
And maybe she helps him find Bale.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he can't. You know what I mean? There's
right.
all these possibilities, but it's really neat to introduce for the, you know.
Drama,
but also another love, right?
Yeah.
Because Prince and Snow
right.
have a relationship, but now right. he and Bale have a relationship. So
right.
and I think it's good.
And just because the curse is broken doesn't mean everybody's getting their happy endings right now. Remember, there's
right.
still the epic battle. So if that's the case, then there's a really good chance that we will see that they don't have their little happy endings right away.
Right.
The dear out there that she does leave him. Maybe that she might do something to help someone like Regina take his power away, again, thinking that she's helping him, but obviously that she's hurting him. If that makes sense at all. Just kind of something I noticed. Next, about the new curse, there's a lot of questions about, you know, what will it entail? You know, how will it really change things since we didn't see? I think what will happen is everyone will stay in Storybrooke like as it is now, but those people who were different beings, if you will, say like Jiminy Cricket, August and the fairies, I think they will all return to their fairy tale form. August will become a puppet again, but I think he'll be able to become the enchanted puppet, so he'll hopefully still be alive. Archie, I think, will turn back into Cricket, maybe, although maybe he could turn back into a human, because that was his original form. And then I think the fairies, would possibly turn back into their original selves. And then I think what will happen is that people have the option to come and go through the wardrobe tree as was stated. I think someone put that out there a couple episodes ago. And I think people like maybe Red will choose to stay in Storybrooke because she now knows, you know, where she belongs and she knows who she is now, what kind of person that she wants to be. We saw that in her episode.
She calls back, but it's very interesting what you're bringing up is the changing.
Right. So. Will they change to fairy tale characters, their fairy tale forms? Or, and here's something that she brought up that I would like to go back and listened to the episode, the piece of the episode, Still Small Voice, when she changed him to a cricket to begin with, she said, you will be with Geppetto as long as he needs you.
Mm. Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if she put him in that form for as long as Geppetto needs him, will he go back now that Geppetto may or may not need him anymore? And will he stay as a human being? That'd be interesting to see what they do with that.
And also the traveling back and forth. And
right.
She mentioned the tree.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going to kind of slide over the hat with all the doors, too. So
right.
I think there's going to be a lot of movement and a lot of traveling back and forth.
Definitely.
And maybe introduced into that is, what does it cost you to go back and forth?
Right.
So there's a lot of, yeah.
What are the ramifications? Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting to see.
A lot
see.
Of good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Very.
So here is our next voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it cut me off there. I knew it was going to do that. But anyway, yes, I think all the characters will have their choice to come and go through the wardrobe as they choose. I'd love to hear that your guys' thoughts on that and what happens there. Another thing that I wanted to check out, a lot of people at the beginning of the series were saying that Emma was Sleeping Beauty and she had to be kissed and woken up to kind of get rid of the quirk curse. And since that didn't really happen, I was wondering if we would see Sleeping Beauty's character at all. Obviously, she pricks her finger on a, gosh, why can't I think of it now? Thing that Rumpel has. Why can't I think of it? The spindle. That thing. Whatever. I don't know why it's blowing my mind right now. I can't think of it. But obviously, so she pricks her finger on that, and then she falls into a sleep. So obviously, I think Rumpel will be involved in her story a lot. So I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts if you think that maybe we'll see Sleeping Beauty in the fairy tale flashback, because we're obviously going to still have those because we have to see Snow and Charming retake the kingdom from the Evil Queen. So I'd love to see what you guys think if we'll see Sleeping Beauty at all. And then my last thing I wanted to tap on, I was discussing this with my friend Tom, was why do you think Maleficent was trapped in the basement in dragon form? Obvious, do you think Regina thought, I don't know, she didn't want anyone to equal her power because Maleficent is maybe the only one who is close enough to her in power. She didn't want someone as powerful as she was in Storybrooke, or why is she in dragon form? Did she know that Rumpel put the love potion in there? I don't know. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. Thanks for a great show. What a season finale. I don't know how we're going to wait this long for season two, but for all you guys out there, big love to everybody. Follow me on Twitter, Morgan L. Potter. And I'd love to hear back from you guys. Thank you so much for putting on a wonderful show. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Morgan, so much.
Thank you, Morgan. And yes, I do think we are going to see Sleeping Beauty. For a while, I kind of thought, well, possibly Emma could be Sleeping Beauty. But yeah, she's definitely not. So I would like to see Sleeping Beauty. I think we might see her at some point in time. Maybe we've already kind of seen her and we don't even realize it. That's a possibility, too. As for Regina trapping Maleficent in the form of the dragon, here's my theory. I think I think you're onto something when you said she didn't want somebody as powerful as herself to be in Storybrooke, right? So she said she trapped her there, her form of punishment, she brought over in a different form. I don't think she knew about the love potion because she was very surprised when Rumpel mentioned that he bottled it and put it there. So I don't think she knew that. What I do think, though, is that if she had brought her over in her normal form, her Maleficent form, instead of the dragon, Maleficent could have wrecked things. So having the dragon was a better option, I think, in Regina's mind. Because a dragon can't do curses. The dragon can't have any magic. Their dragon can't do anything.
You wouldn't want to walk up and start talking to it.
Correct.
So
that's the other thing. Regina may have thought it was protection. Mm-hmm. And didn't realize that she'd actually fallen right into Rumpel's trap. So.
Again.
Yeah. And she even said when Emma got up to the top, he duped us both again.
Yeah.
Shocker, Regina, you should have known.
Excellent. So here is our next call.
Hello, Jeff and Colleen. This is Tammy, love once. And I am calling to just a little tidbit. I don't know if you guys, I haven't heard anybody mention it, but when Emma was in the room with Henry, and she's dumping out the contents of his backpack, and the book comes out, did anybody notice the candy bar that was dumped out next to the book? It was an Apollo candy bar. And that, I just started watching Lost. I know I'm late, but I remember the Apollo candy bar from the Lost episodes. Anyway, love you guys' show. I listen to it and re-listen to it several times a week. So keep up the good work. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Tammy.
Thanks. And yes, I did notice the Apollo bar. That was very, very clever. From Lost, that was a great pull. And then the other thing was the comic book that came out with the book. And I couldn't really see the cover, but I'm pretty sure that's an X-Men.
X-Men versus the Avengers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was, because that's what he was reading before. Mm. So I have a feeling that's what it was. If it wasn't, I wonder if it was the same polar bear one that Hurley was reading in Lost. Mm. So anyway. Yeah.
And
good eye there. Yes,
absolutely. And
as late as you are to Lost, it's still okay. Oh, as long as you come to it at some point in time, it's all good.
You're going
to
enjoy it. And if you don't, just keep watching. Because you're going to, hang in there.
Hang in there for some of the episodes, but the majority of it is just phenomenal. You'll love it.
Yes, yes. And one of the funnier episodes, I think, I can't remember which one it was, of Once Upon a Time, with that Apollo bar that was as big as Jennifer Goodwin.
Oh, yeah.
That she bought.
When they were talking about
pregnancy test. 715 or something like that.
Yes, it was. Anyway. I'm pretty sure it was 715. And it was when Regina and Catherine were talking, and Regina made the comment about the pregnancy test.
You could see that Apollo bar from space.
Pretty much.
From the space shuttle, you
pretty
could see
much,
it.
Pretty much, yeah.
You could look out satellite. And say, oh, look, it's an Apollo bar.
It's a landmark for the satellite, yeah. That's
all awesome. Right. Here is the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen and the rest of the listeners. This is Tyler, and I just wanted to mention the list of things I found from Once Upon a Time in other media this week. As we've mentioned before, Josh Dallas is in Thor and is going to be in Thor 2 as one of the Warriors 3. But I also was rewatching Captain America, and I noticed none other than Sebastian Stan, a.k.a. the Mad Hatter, was in it. And also, the guy that plays Sidney Glass / the Magic Mirror, he was in Community during the first of three episodes to air last night. And it was very funny. Very funny episode. So if anyone hasn't seen those, I recommend seeing them just for those guys. The other thing, if you pre-order the show from Amazon on Blu-ray or DVD, if you have Prime, obviously it's free shipping. They'll do the price guarantee, so if the price goes down, you'll get that lower price. And there's, I believe, a $15 coupon that you can use that you just, it'll say clip coupon, and it'll save you another $15. So I highly recommend everyone go pre-order it on Amazon right now. Okay. Talk to you all later, and that finale, can we have season 2 this weekend, please? Okay, talk to you all later. Bye.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler.
Lots of little good tidbits in there.
And yes, Josh, I had heard, now we haven't seen Thor yet, and I really actually want to now that we've seen Avengers, which was awesome. I would like to see him in that. And I did not know that Giancarlo Esposito, who plays Sidney, was on Community. But I did know that Josh was on an episode of Hawaii Five-O. Sebastian Stan used to be on Gossip Girl. And I also did not know that he was in Captain America, which I'll have to rewatch that again because I really like that movie too.
Giancarlo is in Breaking Bad as well.
Okay.
Yep.
He's done a few things.
Yep.
He's done a few things. So, all these folks, they're not newbies. They've been doing stuff. You may not have recognized them there, but anyway.
And yes, please, if you have not purchased your DVDs.
You mean pre-ordered?
Pre-ordered your DVDs Once Upon a Time. We have a link on our right sidebar of our website. So once upon atimepodcast.com.
Yep.
Look over to the right and then scroll down a little bit and just click on that little picture of the DVD for season one.
Excellent.
And you can order it through our affiliate link on Amazon. We get a percentage and we appreciate it.
Yes. And don't forget to find the coupon too.
Yes. Yes. Coupon, clip, and all.
Yep.
Here is the last voicemail.
Oh.
Hey, it's Tyler again. And in re-listening to some of the old podcasts as well as rewatching the episodes, I just made a massive connection to something in the Cinderella episode that I don't believe we've talked about on the show before. And that is at the very end when Regina is running up the stairs and, you know, she comes into Henry's room for the last time. How many times have I told you, don't leave your shoes on the stairs, someone could get hurt. In the Cinderella story, she lost her shoe running down the stairs, and that's how the prince came to find her, and it was on the stairs. So, shoe on stairs connection, and in the Cinderella episode. Just thought I'd point that out, because I don't think anyone ever talked about that yet. Okay, yeah, and I am really hoping I can make more of these steps for the meetup work. Got one big hurdle figured out today. Now I got to figure out the other ones. Okay, talk to you later.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks.
And it's been a long time.
We talked about the shoe on the stairs, but we didn't make the connection with Cinderella.
Yeah, yeah.
We did talk about the fact that she was like, don't leave your shoes on the stairs. But you're right. We did not make the Cinderella connection. I didn't even think about it either. It didn't even dawn on me.
And the other connection is taking one shoe off for the after party of the live show. But not in your car.
No.
You gotta be safe. Always safe.
Right. Safety in the vehicle. But if you're sitting at home, kicking back. Taking a shoe off, one shoe off for the after party. That's definitely the way to go.
And keep your and keep some spray handy just in case you need to kind of, you know.
For stinky feet?
Maybe.
Okay.
So really quick before we go, they raised the ticket prices for Disneyland today.
They did indeed.
They announced it today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this may kind of change things a bit. So let us know. We know that no one's made a money. We totally get that.
Yeah, we do.
But
we do. Anyway. But here's the thing. Search around because you may find that places like Costco will sell discounted tickets sometimes to Disneyland. Maybe not where you are. I don't know. If you have friends or family in this area who might be able to find better discounts for you for being in California, I don't know if that helps or is even a feasibility. But look online, see what you can find because there are discounts to be had out there. So
and sometimes people that work in certain companies do mm-hmm. get discounts
right.
through their company
right.
for Disneyland.
Right.
And
that, if you work for a big company, chances are good you're going to get a good, you may have discounts like that. And I know I do. I work for a pretty large company and we do have discounted prices and stuff. I mean, we don't need them, but yeah. So I know that there's available options for that.
So that's it. And I don't know, we may or may not do another regular show. We kind of talked about it before, moving toward just a live show on Saturday, kind of in the hiatus, and here we are now.
Right.
So this could be the last voicemail show for a while.
A little while.
So anyway, I want to send big love out to everybody. If you have not subscribed, rated, or reviewed us on iTunes, I'd ask that you would do that. And take care, and we will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.